All right, if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 12, and if you have your books, you can follow along with the notes. And this is our last Sunday for the fast. We had that one interruption. In Mark chapter 12, and we've looked at this in the past, but this is what it says in verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And the funny thing is if this is the greatest, then this is the benchmark for us to figure out how we're doing. How are we doing in our Christian walk? Are we loving God like this? I mentioned last week, we're so caught up with us trying to figure out that God loves us. But once we figure that out, then the other question is how well do we love God? Are we loving Him back? And if you know humanity says a lot of things, but it's not what we say that counts with God. It's what we do. It's how we live. It's how we act. And so Jesus is getting to the heart of this, and He's like, look, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. How's it going for you? How you doing? And then He says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. And so we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Are we living a superficial life? Should have been here in worship. How are we living? Turn with me to James chapter 4, please. Loving God means that we put Him first, and it's seen in our right actions. Not just in our right words, but in our right actions. It's loving what He loves and desiring to live like He wants us to. I mean, like, do we ask Him how we doing? Do we evaluate our walk with Him? Do we ask Him if we're pleasing Him, if we're doing what He desires for us? You know, we sang the song that we want to delight in Him. You know, He is our delight. Well, have we asked Him how we doing? I mean, you might be thinking you're doing great, and He might be thinking you're not doing real great. Or you might be thinking you're not doing well, and He might be thinking you are doing well. And loving God is a constant fight. Putting Him first is a constant fight. There's so many things that come our way that want to draw us away from God and draw us away from loving Him. And the world has such a strong pull on us. I mean, it's amazing the pull that the world has on us. And it's not to pull us towards God, but it's to pull us away from God. In James chapter 4, verse 8, this is a scripture that we've used as we're going through this series. And it says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And so He's telling us, He's like, look, this is what you're supposed to do. But then here's what we need to do. We need to put this in context. Because look with me in verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. James is writing this letter, and then he comes to this point, and he says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And so now he's challenging them. He's letting us know that we can be adulterous people even though we are walking with God, even though we say that we love Him. And he says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And then he says this, "Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And let me tell you, you don't want to have God as your enemy. That's not good. But he says, if we're going to be a friend of the world, that's what's going to happen. And so we have to ask ourselves, how are we? Where's our friendship at? Verse 5, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? And then he says in verse 8, to draw near to God and he'll draw near to us. So he's letting us know that there's that temptation, there's that sway, there's that pull to come away from him and to become friends with the world. But we have to decide, am I going to be a friend with the world, or am I going to choose to walk with God? Am I going to choose to draw close to him? Look, to draw close to the world, you don't have to do anything. It doesn't take any kind of faith to do that. But to draw close to God takes determination, it takes purpose, it takes us being intentional, and we have to do the drawing close to God. You can't just say, I want to draw close to him. You have to purpose to draw close to him. And that's hard. And not only do we have the world to contend with, but we also have an enemy to contend with. We have an enemy who doesn't want us to draw close to God, because he knows that if we draw close to God, he's undone. But I want to call our attention to verse 5, and he says how he yearns jealously over us, or the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. I hope we get the picture, and during this fast, I hope we've gotten the picture. How much God yearns for us, how much he longs for us, how much he wants to be with us. And it's so strong, it's so powerful that he says that he yearns jealously for us. And, you know, a lot of times when we hear the word jealous, we think that that's, you know, something negative. But this jealousy that God has for us is such an awesome power for him and for us. This is a good jealousy. It's not the jealousy of the world. And here's the reality. He so longs to be with us. He so longs to be close to us, for us to know him and to be loved by him, but also for us to love him back. I mean, he longs for that. Can you imagine that that's what his heartbeat is all about, is for us to come closer and closer to him? And yet the enemy and the world try and get us to run further and further from him and to hide from him. And here's the amazing thing is God says that he longs to show himself, and we've read this in the past, he longs to show himself strong on our behalf. He longs to give us strength. Anybody in here need strength? Anybody in here need to be held up and to be made strong? And this is what he wants. You know, we act like he's going to be a bother to us, that he's going to be demanding too much. And all along, he wants us to draw close to him so he can be awesome to us and so that we can have everything that we have need of. I mean, how wonderful is that? What an awesome God, that whatever we are in need of, he says, if you'll come close to me, he says, you'll have whatever you have need of. There's nobody else that can do that for you. You can draw close to whoever you want, and they're not going to do that. They're not going to be able to bless you and meet your needs like he can. And yet we always have to contend with our hearts, because as we've learned, that our heart is deceitful above everything else. It's desperately sick, and who can trust it? Who can know it? But there's a God who calls us to draw close to him, because he wants to draw close to us. And when we decide to draw close to him, it's not done by accident. We don't just fall into drawing close to him. Okay? We have to purpose to draw close to him. We have to be intentional about drawing close to him. It's an everyday, every moment decision that we have to make. And it's an everyday, every moment battle that we have to win to draw close to him. And, you know, some of us have been misled, and we think that just because we're born again, we're filled with the Spirit, we go to church, we give our time and our finances, we come to prayer, we're on our way to heaven, that means that we're automatically drawn close to God, and that's not true at all. You can be all of that and not even be near Him, not even know Him. That's coming. I'll prove it to you scripturally. It's amazing. But what a life. You can turn with me to Exodus 20, please. Exodus chapter 20. But what a life it is that we get to live when we choose to draw close to Him, when we're intentional and purposeful in drawing close to Him, and we do it. A lot of Christians like to live by their intentions. They intend to do a lot of things. But in reality, they don't do very much. And you can Google how the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you up, or brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4 says, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He's jealous. He's jealous for us. I mean, think of it. He's made us. He's provided salvation. Once we receive of that, He pours His Spirit into us. And that's what James was saying, that he yearns jealously for the Spirit that He's placed within us to dwell there. He wants to be so intimate with us. He wants us to know Him that closely that he describes Himself as a jealous God, and He does it in Exodus. And, you know, I mean, we need to understand that He's jealous for us, and it's a good jealous, and it's for our benefit. And then He says this as He continues in verse 5, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me. And then in verse 6, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Isn't that awesome? So He's saying He's a jealous God, and then He depicts the two different things that we have, paths, roads that we can take. And it's one for those who hate Him, and there's a promise that, but for those who love Him and keep His commandments. You see, what we want to do in the Christian world is we want to love God, but we don't want to keep His commandments. We want to love God, but we want to do our own thing, and that's not what He's calling us to do. He's saying that He wants us to love Him and keep His commandments. And He says if we'll do this, He will show steadfast love to us. Anybody need more love? Yeah. Why does He want us and yearn for us so jealously? It's because He loves us. And because He wants us to know that love. Because He knows that He is the best thing for us. He is the best thing that can ever happen to you, is to know that you're loved by God and then reciprocate that love and love Him back. It's amazing what will happen to our lives if we will do that. When we accept His love and allow God to be God to us, then healing comes. Then peace begins to fill us. Then joy comes. Grace and mercy begin to hunt us down. They begin to run after us. I mean, it's amazing. And can I ask, who wouldn't want that for your life? You know, and we think that we're going to find it in other places and in other things, but you're not going to find that. You're not going to find the healing. You're not going to find the love. You're not going to find the peace or the joy or the grace and mercy outside of coming close to God. And the amazing thing is God knows that we need all of that from Him anyways. And so He's saying, I just want you to come to me, because if you'll come to me, He says, this is what you're going to get, and I'm going to give you this because this is what you need for your life. I mean, how much better does it get? That's like going to the doctor and he already has your medicine ready for you before he even knows what you have need of, because he's so awesome. I mean, what an awesome God. And then he satisfies our hearts and our lives like no one else or anything can. He's amazing. And he loves us so that we can learn to love him back. And then we get to love others as he has loved us. Isn't that great? He is everything we have need of, and he wants to give that to us. And when we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us, and we will receive all of that. So whatever you have need of, he's the answer. You need love, he's love. You need healing, he's healing. You need deliverance, he's deliverance. You need direction, he's direction. Whatever you have need of, he is. You need goodness in your life, he's goodness. You need a grateful heart, he's a grateful heart. Whatever you have need of, he is. Now, as we go through this, I want us to see, because in the church we kind of have some things wrong. I want us to see the reality of the life for those who love God. Not for those who are loved by God, but for those who love God. In other words, when you decide to love God back, God has some promises for us. Now, what we've done in the church is we've tried to make it out to where these promises are for anybody. But as we'll see in here, they're not for everybody. But they're for those who love him back. All right? I'd encourage you to put your seatbelts on. The benefits for those, to those who love him back. And before I get into it, I want you to know, this is not for those who know about God. Because there's plenty of people who know about God. And we looked last time that there's some that they've encountered God, they've seen his goodness, and they've rejected it. Matter of fact, it says that they hate him. And it says that they love the darkness and they hate him. They hate the light. Okay? So it's not about knowing about him, but it's being intimate with him. Like a husband and wife are close and intimate. It happens when we're that close and that open and that vulnerable with him. That's what triggers him. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says this. And these are all familiar, these first three. He says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Okay, so he's God. The faithful God. Who keeps covenant and steadfast love. So in other words, he keeps covenant and he keeps steadfast love. But then it's not to everybody. He says it to this. There's a qualifier. With those, say it with me, who love him. So he keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. Yes, y'all are getting it. I heard some and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. you're going to see in this that loving God means you're willing to keep his commandments. You're willing to walk his ways. Mm. But if you're willing to do that, then he says he will keep covenant and steadfast love with us. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, "And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." You see, we want to separate the loving God and keeping his commandments. God doesn't do that. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Mm. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. And this is when he was praying and seeking the Lord again and fasting some more. And he says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." So what does it mean to love God, and how do we know that we're loving God? We keep his commandments. We do what he says. We follow him with all of our heart. When he says something, we do it. We agree with him. Loving him and doing what he says are two sides of the same coin. We can't separate them. We cannot say that we love God and then do our own thing. Okay? If you love him, you will obey him. All right? And here's the other thing. We obey him out of a sense of gratitude and devotion, not duty. We're grateful for what he's done. We're so overwhelmed by what he has done for us that we want to do what he wants us to do. We want to love what he loves. We want to hate what he hates. We want to be passionate about what he's passionate about. And what God is passionate about, if you don't know, is people. His people. And we have to make sure that we understand this, that God doesn't want us to love him because he's insecure or on an ego trip. You know, in the natural world, that can happen. But God's not insecure and he's not on an ego trip. He is the most secure person you will ever meet. And because of that, he will be able to help you like nobody else can help you. He will have the best in mind for you like nobody else ever will. Turn with me to Psalm 145, please. So I want to encourage you as we bring this fast to a close this week, ask yourself, look yourself in the mirror and say, how do I love God? How am I doing loving God? And then you'll know the answer by, how well are you obeying him? How well are you listening to him? Psalm 145, verse 20 says this, "The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." So if you want to be preserved, then love him. If you want to be destroyed, don't love him. Okay? But he doesn't preserve everybody. He only preserves a select few. And that's our choice if we love him. John chapter 14, starting in verse 21. You ready for this? He says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father." So if we keep his commandments, then we love him. Okay? Because he says, if you keep my commandment, he it is who loves me. Okay? "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Isn't that amazing? God says, if we'll love, Jesus says, if you love me, then my Father will love you also, and he will manifest himself to you. So when he's talking about manifesting himself to us, it's whatever you have need of, he's going to be there for us. If it's healing, deliverance, restoration, whatever it is, he is. And then verse 22 reads this. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, and now who can love him? Anyone. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word or keep my commandment. They're always together. And my Father will love him. And now he says, and we will come to him and make our home with him. In the first part, in verse 21, he's just talking and he's saying, the Father's going to come. Now he's saying, if you really do, you keep my commandments, then we're both going to come. Now, can I tell you, when you're walking with God, then we have I've shared this in the past, we have an advantage over everybody else in this world. It may be an unfair advantage, but nonetheless, it's an advantage. Because when you have the God of the universe walking with you, then you have an advantage over the rest of the world. Isn't that awesome? But it's only promised to those who love him. He doesn't say to those who are born again. He doesn't say to those who go to church. He doesn't say to those who give. He says to those who love him. So the question is do we love him? 1 Corinthians 2:9. I read this at the beginning. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. So if you don't love him, this verse is not for you. Does everybody love him? No. So this isn't for everybody. But to those who love him. James 1. Verse 12, he says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. So that's a good thing, right? For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The crown of life is to those who love him. So does everybody love him? No. Is everybody going to get a crown of life? No. But to those who love him. Isn't that amazing? And then in James chapter 2, verse 5, he says this. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? And so that's what he's called us to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to who? To those who love him. So if you don't love him, do you get to be rich in faith or heirs of the kingdom? No. But if you love him, that's your promise. Isn't this good? Romans 8:28, and we're all familiar with this. If not, you should be. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Okay. So the qualifier is what? For those who love God. So if you don't love God, does he work all things out for our good? And how many times have we heard people tell other people, oh, well, God will work it out for your good? Not necessarily. Not if you don't love God. This is in the NIV. I like the way it reads. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So again, if we will love him, we have an advantage over the rest of the world. Isn't that awesome? And I'm telling you, we need as much of the advantage of God as we can get down here. I know my life and I know your life. You need that. You need more of him. And the way to get more of him is to position your heart and draw close to him and love him back. It gets better. It's amazing. Turn with me to John chapter 13. We're going to close with this scripture and then we'll have communion. I personally want to be on the receiving end of the promises of God, which means that I'm going to purpose to love him back. I'm not going to be satisfied with just being loved by him. I want to love him back. And then in loving him back, guess what? According to Mark, I'm going to love others as he has loved me. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's why loving God back is so awesome and important and the greatest. As we love God, as we understand that he loves us, and then we love God back, okay? Then we learn to accept and love ourselves properly. And it's an ongoing learning. You know, you're not going to wake up one day and you got it all. It's ongoing. But as we begin that journey and as we come to the place where we love ourselves, then according to Mark, then we can love others. And that's the goal that God has in mind for us. Because as we begin to love others, we begin to be able to be the ones who bring healing to others. We can bring the help that others need. In John chapter 13, Jesus says it like this. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Okay? We are to love one another just as he has loved us. You also are to love one another. And then he says this in verse 35. By this. Everybody say, by this. It's not by anything else. He says, by this. It's not by going to church. It's not by giving. It's not by having prayer. It's not by reading your Bible and memorizing it and studying it and knowing it inside and out. It's not by all the things that we do, but he says it's by this all people will know that you are my disciples. And what is this? Your love for one another. It's not how intelligent we are or how unintelligent we are. It's not how rich we are or how poor we are. It's not how good looking we are or how ugly we are. None of that matters. But what matters is, by this all people will know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. And so Jesus brings it full circle. This fast, I hope you've seen that we're bringing it full circle. That it's one thing to know that you're loved by God, but it's another thing to love God back, to position our hearts and to draw close to him and to know him in such an intimate way that we learn to love ourselves. And then as we've learned to love ourselves, we pass that on to others and we love others as he has loved us. And it's at that moment that the world says, oh, you must be his disciple. And guess what? The world needs to know where to turn to. They need to know where they can get help. And here's how they know who belongs to him. Do we have love for one another? You see, a lot of times we want to say, well, I love God. Okay. You love God, great. But here's the real proof. If you really love God, then you're going to love his people too. How well are you doing? Well, I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, well, how well are you loving others? That's where the rubber meets the road. And it's so important because the world needs a place to turn to. They want a God that they can trust. And you're it. You're the ones that can help them find that God And I pray you and this church and me and the whole body of Christ that we will so love others so well that we that they know that we belong to Him and they can run to us for the help that they need. That's what loving God is all about. You know, I didn't bring the scripture in, but in 1 John chapter 4, I think it's verse 19, he says that we love because he first loved us. I'm telling you, you try and love people without loving God, it's not going to work. There's not enough love in you to love others. We have to draw from being close with him and being intimate with him and being loved by him and loving him back. We can't say that we love them and then do our own thing. If you're married, try that with your spouse. See how far that gets you. Try to do your own thing when you're living with them. And then you say, oh, well, I love you. If you love them, you're going to spend time with them.